The only time I have ever seen His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj use a cell phone is for this lecture. My obeisances to you. We thank you, Sachinandan Maharaj, for bringing such a deep realization of the importance of absorbing ourselves in the chanting of Krishna's holy names. Bhaktivinod Thakur has written, Krishna Nam Jivadaya Sarvadharmasar. The essence of all religions is to be absorbed in the chanting of the holy names and living in a spirit of compassion toward other souls. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Hari Das Thakur was pure devotional service personified. The three essential qualities of attachment to the holy names, living in compassion to others, and serving Vaishnavas was supremely manifested in the life of Haridas Thakur. And for that reason, Lord Chaitanya proclaimed him to be the Namacharya for all people of all times who want to attain pure devotional service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Thakur Haridas is such an important part of our lives. Srila Prabhupada had us remember him before every class, after every aarti, with Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that anyone who hears the story of Haridas Thakur will attain Lord Krishna. This evening, in the holy land of Sri Jagannath Puri Dham, I would like to make some attempt to speak on the subject of how a devotee who takes shelter of the holy name sincerely becomes so dear to the Supreme Lord. Haridas Thakur was born in Budan in a family of Mleches and Yavanas. At a young age, he left home, went to Benapole. His Holiness Indra Jumana Maharaj narrated so sweetly this morning one of the pastimes that took place there. Ramchandra Khan was envious of his attractive qualities and tried to destroy him. It is really a very interesting meditation that is so essential to all of our spiritual lives that the person that Lord Chaitanya proclaimed as the Namacharya has a history of one persecution after another. One tremendous obstacle after another. Practically wherever he went, there were powerful, influential persons who were envious of him and wanted to destroy him. But yet, he never retaliated with anger. He was always forgiving, humble, and absorbed in taking his pleasure in chanting Krishna's names. He is considered to be like the personification of Prahlad Maharaj. Even undergoing so much tribulation and death threats, Prahlad was undisturbed because he was always remembering Krishna. Yes, Ramchandra Khan was wealthy, powerful, influential, and Haridas Thakur was penniless, living in the jungle. The only thing he had was faith in the holy name. When he left that prostitute as his own disciple, he traveled to Chandpur, which is in the district of Adi Saptagram. There he was invited by Balaramacharya and Yadunandan to give a lecture on the glories of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the Yuga Dharma. Haridas Thakur taught very simple. He's described in our Vaishnav literatures as one of the greatest of all scholars. But whatever references there are to his preaching is so simple and essential. Srila Prabhupada describes in this regard, what is a great scholar? It's not a matter of how many verses you know. It's a matter of how much realization and conviction you have that this material world is a place of suffering, that we should give up striving for sense gratification. We should accept Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead and understand that our eternal nature is to serve him, and that the only real goal of life is to love him, which takes place through the sincere chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. One who has this conviction, practices it, and teaches it to others, is considered to be greatest scholar, Vidvan. That was Haridas Thakur. He explained so nicely that in this age of Kali, there is no way to approach God and attain the ultimate destination except through the chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari. And what is the real goal of life? Why do we chant the holy names? It is not for material benefits. It is not for attaining mystic cities, liberation. The real goal of chanting of the holy names is the awakening of prema bhakti, love of God within the heart. This is very important. Yegatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyam. Because Krishna will reciprocate according to how we approach him. And Krishna is none different than his name. Satchinandan Maharaj has quoted, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. That the name of Krishna and Krishna are one and the same. If we chant the holy name desiring material benefits, Krishna may give us material benefits. But if we're really fortunate, he may give it to us and then crush us. The Mayavadis, they are making very popular the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra all over the world. But their desire is often for liberation into the impersonal Brahman. And if they chant very sincerely, they may attain that goal. But Haridas Thakur warned us not to be trapped by these lesser forms of pleasure. The real goal of life that we strive for when we chant the name is unmotivated, unconditional, loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In comparison to liberation is an insignificant byproduct. Before pure chanting even arises within the heart, when we simply attain an offenseless state, we're already liberated. It's included. In fact, devotees care nothing for mukti. Right here at Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, he changed the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano. That one who undergoes very tremendous sufferings, and in that state, with folded hands, gratefully offers his obeisances to the Lord. Thank you very much. I deserve worse. Let me take shelter of you. That person alone attains supreme liberation. Sarvabhauma changed it from Muktipade to Bhaktipade and very proudly showed it to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya asked, why have you changed the words of Vyasadeva and Srimad Bhagavatam? He said, I was striving for mukti my whole life. But here at the ripe and old age, you have given me bhakti. Now I cannot even tolerate the sound of the word mukti. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. He said, you understand that the supreme mukti is bhakti, so leave the verse as it is. Vyas said it that way, let it be. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, on your order I will let it be, but I don't like it. So Thakur Haridas was explaining like this. He just left Ramchandra Khan, persecuting him, trying to destroy him. He next comes to Chandpur, and there's someone called Gopal Chakravarti in the audience who says, who is this low caste, untouchable, telling us that love of God is so great that mukti is just an insignificant byproduct? I curse you. If what you're saying is not correct, then let your nose fall off. Gopal Chakravarti was a very high-class Brahmin. The assembly of pious persons were outraged by this offense to Haridas. But Thakur Haridas only felt compassion for this critic. Let him be, let him be. Haridas Thakur prayed for him. But within a few days, Gopal Chakravarti got leprosy and his nose fell off. Hare Krishna. But he was eventually liberated by Haridas Thakur's prayers. From Chandpur, Thakur Haridas went to Fuligram, which is in the district of Shantipur. There he met Advaitacharya. Sri Advaita Prabhu was the crest jewel of all Brahmins. But he accepted Haridas Thakur as the greatest of Vaishnavas. They would dance and sing and discuss Krishna every day. During the Shraddhapatra, when Advaitacharya was to give the first remnants of the Lord to the most exalted of all Brahmins, in front of the entire Brahminical assembly, he gave that honor to Haridas Thakur. On the bank of the Ganges, he lived in a cave. But as Satchinandan Maharaj explained, wherever he went, he was inducing people to chant Hare Krishna. By his love, by his kindness, by his own personal ecstasy, he could easily convince anyone who had an innocent heart. Thousands of people. Love of God is the essence of all religion. It is beyond sectarian differences. Krishna is not a Hindu name of God. God is not Hindu or Jew or Muslim or Christian or Jain or Parsi or atheist. Krishna is Jagannath. He's the Lord of the universe. And that means everything within the universe. Love of God is the essence. Haridas Thakur brought people to that level by his love. But here again, in Benapur he left, Chandpur he left due to persecutions. He comes to Fuligram, and what does he get? Persecution. I'll speak something briefly about that. The Qazi. He was outraged that thousands and thousands of people were chanting the names of Krishna and falling in love with Krishna. He went to the king, told the king that this man is destroying our own Islamic religion. Our people are chanting Krishna's names. Impossible. He must be stopped. He's a wicked man. Punish him. The king sent soldiers to arrest Thakur Haridas. How wonderful. Haridas Thakur is Lord Brahma. Yes? And Jajumana Maharaj so nicely spoke from Navadvip Mahatmya this morning about how Lord Brahma wanted a humble position so that he would just be in a spirit of servant of the servant of the servant. Lord Brahma is living 311 trillion 40 million years. He's the father of every living being within the universe. Hare Krishna. His planet of Satyaloka cannot be approached by any demon. There's never a disturbance there. Swargaloka, so many disturbances. But Satyaloka, Hiranyakashipu, who conquered the whole universe, he bowed down before Lord Brahma. Hare Krishna. That is the position. That is the power of Brahmaji. But here he's taking a position where he's being arrested. He's being criticized. He's subjected to all these humiliating experiences. And he never retaliates. Trinarapi sunichena taror ibase hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. this crest jewel of all verses. Haridas Thakur taught us practically. He was humble, more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, offered all respect to others and respected none in return. Because he lived by these principles, by words and actions, he could chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. They brought him to the prison. Many of the prisoners were pious, saintly persons who were being persecuted because they were following their own religion. They were so eager to meet Haridas. They begged the jail keepers, "Let us just see him for a moment. If we can even see this great saint, all of the miseries of being in prison will be alleviated." Haridas Thakur, he had no fear. He was brought in by soldiers about to see the envious Qazi and the powerful king. He was smiling. When the prisoners came before him, they all bowed down in great desperation. And because they took shelter of Haridas Thakur from their hearts in their miserable condition, they accessed his mercy. This is very important. A saintly person is like the sun. He's emanating the light of the Lord's mercy through his or her every word, act, or deed. But how do we access it? According to our state of consciousness, we can either absorb or repel that mercy when it comes. We have often explained, you cannot digest food unless there is hunger. Hunger is the sign of health. If you have no hunger, you have no appetite. Even if you eat, it can make you sick. The nutrients of food are only of value to the degree we have an appetite and a digestion to absorb it. So please understand, these prisoners, they were persecuted. They were in a very, very difficult condition of life. They had lost their homes, they had lost their families, they had lost their freedom, they were eating useless things. And they didn't know what their future would be. They didn't know if they would be tortured or killed the next day. When they looked upon Haridas Thakur, they were desperate. They were praying and longing for mercy. They completely took shelter of Haridas Thakur, and in that spirit, they bowed down. And to their great wonder, when they got up, there were tears flowing from their eyes, their hairs were standing on end, and their limbs were trembling. They were longing for a benediction, for freedom. And Haridas saw them and offered them a benediction. He said, "Stay as you are. May you always be as you are right now." The prisoners looked quite disappointed. That's not the benediction a prisoner expects. Haridas Thakur saw the unhappiness in their faces, and he smiled. I'd like to read for you the instructions Haridas Thakur gave to these people, because they are one of the few sections of the scriptures where Thakur Haridas is personally giving instructions to the conditioned souls. They are invaluable to all of us. Haridas Thakur, he said to them, I have given you a good blessing, but not understanding its meaning, you are now unhappy. I did not give you a bad benediction. Please give this some thought and try to understand it. Haridas Thakur is preaching these words to you and me. Take it personally. As I'm speaking the words of Haridas Thakur, please meditate in this way. That Thakur Haridas, on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the holy land of Jagannath Puri, is giving this instruction personally to you and to me. Because we are all prisoners within this material existence. And we are all subjected to the sufferings of this world. Haridas Thakur is speaking to you. Please give this some thought and try to understand it. Now your hearts are attached to Lord Krishna. Please remain like that at every moment. And this is Haridasa's simple message. Always gather together, chant Krishna's names, and remember Krishna. Remember, remain like this at every moment. Never hurt anyone. Never trouble anyone. Instead, always think of Krishna and always in a plaintive voice, call out Krishna. This paragraph is such an essential truth because the nature of the false ego is we want to retaliate injustices. Is it not? And therefore we hurt people. An offense or aparad means to hurt someone, either by our words, by our thoughts, by our actions. We want to hurt people either directly or indirectly. That is the nature of envy. But Haridas Thakur says, if you want to chant the holy names properly, this is what you must do. Do not hurt anyone. Do not trouble anyone. And how is that possible? He tells us, instead, just take shelter of thinking of Krishna. And in a plaintive, helpless voice, call out his holy names. Forget about material pleasures. Flee the company of wicked men. If you stay with material pleasures, you will not attain love for Krishna. Stay far away from materialists and always think of Lord Krishna. A heart attached to sense pleasures brings only trouble. Sense pleasures are a trap that catches men and women. Sense pleasures lead to destruction. By divine arrangement, a fortunate person attains the association of sincere devotees. He turns from material sense pleasures and worships Lord Krishna. However, If one commits offenses, he will return to materialistic life. Please hear about this. Even after years or lifetimes of practicing devotional service, even after renouncing so many of the pleasures that people strive for in this world, if we commit offenses, Krishna withdraws his protection because he is displeased. And then we fall back again into the material pool. Thakur Haridas is warning us, do not commit offenses to others. The benediction that I spoke did not mean, may you remain prisoners. Rather, day and night I give the benediction, may you forget sense pleasures. Playing with words, I actually gave that benediction. Please do not feel even a half of sesame seeds worth of unhappiness. I place a glance of mercy on all souls. May you attain firm devotion to Lord Krishna is the real benediction I give you. Please don't worry. In 2 or 3 days, you will be released from prison. This I tell you. In the next instruction, Thakur Haridas is giving hope for each and every one of us. Stay in a situation of material happiness, or stay in any situation, but do not forget these truths. What does that mean? Even if we're in a situation of material happiness, that is not an obstacle. The important thing is not to crave for it, not to attach oneself toward it, but rather to always be seeking our pleasure and our shelter in the association of saintly persons and hearing and chanting the glories and the names of the Lord. An amazing sentence. Stay even in your material happiness. That's not an obstacle. But attach yourself to Krishna. Then Haridas Thakur went in to see the king. There, when the king saw the illustrious qualities of Haridas, he stood up in reverence to receive him. And he asked Haridas Thakur, why are you behaving like you do? You are coming from a very prestigious, auspicious family. Why are you lowering yourself to the degraded status of a Hindu, chanting the names of the Hindu gods? Now the Qazi is very angry with you. If you do not come to a more intelligent conclusion and just follow your own religion, I will have to punish you. Haridas Thakur's reply is the essence of real interfaith preaching. Because he was now about to speak to the Islamic king and the Qazi who hated Hindus. He offered them all respect. With great honor, he spoke these words to enlighten and encourage them in their own religion. Shall I speak his words? First he laughed and said, aha, the Maya of Lord Vishnu. Then he sweetly replied to the king, oh, my son, please listen. There is only one God for everyone. The Hindus and Muslims are different in many ways. Still, the truth that the Quran and the Puranas describe is the same one God. The one God is pure, eternal, undivided, unchanging, perfect, and complete. He lives in everyone's heart. As God gives them the idea, so everyone in the world acts. Following their own scriptures, all the people of the world speak of God's names and qualities. God knows everyone's nature. Anyone who attacks others attacks God himself. I follow whatever orders God has given in my heart. Among the Hindus, a Brahmin may, by God's desire, become a Muslim. The punishment the Hindus would give to that Brahmin is the punishment you should give to me. Then Haridas, in great respect, continues, O Honorable One, please consider this. Then if I am at fault, punish me. Hearing these truthful words, the king was very pleased. But the Qazi was outraged. He is wicked. He will make many others wicked also. He will dishonor the Muslims. If he thinks he is not good, if he thinks it is not good that he be punished, let him speak with his own mouth, his own scripture. The king, he said, my dear brother, please speak from your own scripture. Otherwise, I'm going to have to punish you. Please. Haridas honored the king, and the king was honoring him. But Haridas was fearless. Haridas said, what God wills will certainly happen. No one has the power to make it otherwise. Everyone reaps the fruit of his offenses. It is God who is doing all this. Please know that. Thakur Haridas is teaching us what Prabhupada said, do not blame someone else for being the instrument of your own karma. Material life is a blame game. People suffer and they want to blame others. Even devotees, they're put in difficult situations, unfair situations, they want to blame others. You may be right from a materially literal point of view, but there's a problem with that. You make no spiritual progress. Instead, you lose the most precious opportunity of surrendering to Krishna. And every moment lost is gone forever. When difficulties come, when miseries come, when prejudices come upon us, it's a chance to surrender to Krishna and go back to Godhead with a forgiving heart. Or it's a chance to just deal on the material platform with material situations and become further entangled in the network of bondage. Haridas Thakur continues, if my body is cut to pieces and my life breath flees, I will never make the holy name of Lord Hari leave my mouth. Hearing this, the king was helpless. He turned to the Qazi and said, "What shall we do with this animal?" The Qazi replied, "Punish this wicked sinner. Let him be beaten in all the 22 marketplaces until his life breath flees from his body. Beat him and torture him till he's dead. And if after being beaten throughout the entire day, if he's still alive, then we will consider his words seriously."
Hare Krishna.
So on the Qazi's persuasion, the king called the executioners. Beat him till there's no breath in his body. And they did. How they beat him. The people of Phuliagram, they could not tolerate seeing this. There were people who were going to the executioners who were beating them with sticks. They were offering bribes. They were offering all their wealth. "Please stop beating him." Other people were screaming and crying that an offense in our village to such a saintly person, the reaction will be our entire town and all our families will be devastated. Other people jumped on the soldiers trying to stop them, trying to beat the executioners, and they were just beaten down. Other people were falling at the feet of these soldiers, weeping and crying, begging for them to stop, but they were just kicked away as they ruthlessly beat Haridas Thakur. Every limb of his body, with all of their strength, they beat him. They dragged him by his hair, dragged him by his limbs from marketplace to marketplace. But Haridas Thakur was so absorbed in chanting the holy names of Krishna that he felt no pain. This is real samadhi. The body was there. The pain was there, but his consciousness was in the spiritual world. That is the power of Krishna's name. It transports us to the spiritual world. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. The name has descended from Goloka Vrindavan to bring us to Goloka Vrindavan. Not only at the time of death, but whenever we chant with sincere affection. Like Prahlad, he endured no pain. But Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, there was one serious pain that was afflicting Haridas Thakur's heart. He was praying, "O Lord Krishna, please be merciful to these souls who are beating me. Let their hatred of me not be counted as any type of an offense." To think like this at a time that we are discussing, that is the price of pure devotional service. I will repeat this prayer. It's so sweet. It was the only pain of his heart. O Lord Krishna, please be merciful to the souls of these men who are striving with
envy and wrath to kill me. And do not allow their envy and hatred toward me to be counted as an offense.
He continued to chant the holy names. The soldiers, they didn't know what to do. They were beating and beating and blaspheming and kicking and spitting and everything horrible toward him. And he always looked happy. He looked upon them as a well-wishing, compassionate servant. This was intolerable for them. They just beat him harder. And after 22 marketplaces, they were thinking, he doesn't die. He should have died after 2 or 3 marketplaces. He's still alive. Is he some sort of saint? At the end of the day, their arms were so utterly exhausted, they could not continue. They looked at Haridas Thakur and said, we don't know what to do. Because we are unable to kill you, the Qazi is going to have us killed. Haridas Thakur smiled and said, oh, if my being alive is such a disturbance to you, then please watch and see what I'm about to do. And then chanting the name of Hari, he fell into a lifeless state. No heartbeat, no pulse, no breath. He was, by material examination, dead. They picked up his body and brought it to the king. The king said, bury him. The Qazi said, no, he does not deserve to be put under the ground. Because by burying him, he will get an auspicious destination. Throw him like garbage in the Ganges so that he will suffer hellish conditions eternally. They picked him up. At first he was very heavy because Krishna was in his body. They couldn't move him. But then by the Lord's arrangement, the dead corpse was thrown into the Ganges. He went underwater. As he floated downstream, after some time, by Krishna's arrangement, he came back to consciousness. Haridas Thakur was not willfully doing, it says by Krishna's arrangement. He just gave his life to Krishna. This was Haridas Thakur. My Lord, if you like, you can embrace me, or you can kick me, trample on me, or you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before you, but I am your servant unconditionally. By Krishna's grace, he came back to consciousness. And then he climbed out of the Ganges onto the bank and came back right. He just walked right back into Fuliagram, right into the town, approaching the king's palace, loudly chanting the holy names. When the people saw him, they understood who he was. The executioners fell at his feet begging forgiveness. Even the Qazi had a change of heart. And the king fell at Haridas's feet and begged Haridas, please forgive me, because I know great saintly persons who truly love the one God, they are very forgiving and tolerant. So please forgive me.
Today I understand you are truly a saint, and I give you the authority that you could live anywhere and you can do anything you like with my full support.
Haridas Thakur forgave them. And because of Haridas Thakur's love, they all attained salvation. That is Haridas Thakur. From there, Haridas met an assembly of Brahmins and chanted and danced with them for some time. And they asked him, "Why did you have to undergo such tribulation?" And Haridas said, "Actually, with my ears, I heard the blasphemy of Krishna and his names. Therefore, I deserved much, much worse. But Krishna's so kind, he just gave me a small sample of what I should have gotten, just to purify me and teach me a lesson to never hear blasphemy again." Another lesson of Thakur Haridas. Not only should we never speak blasphemy, but we should never hear blasphemy of God or his devotees. From there, he went to a place called Harinadi. There, he was approached by an assembly of Brahmins. And one Brahmin, very learned scholar of the Shastras, he challenged Haridas Thakur, "Why are you so loudly shouting the holy names?" He was screaming at Haridas. He was actually screaming. "Why are you loudly chanting? The holy names should be softly chanted. This loud chanting is a disturbance. It's irreligious." And Haridas Thakur, he said, "You are a learned scholar. You are a Brahmin, so you know the answer to your own question. According to the scripture, the loud chanting of the holy names is 100 times more powerful than chanting softly." And then he quoted Prahlad Maharaj from the Narada Purana, where it explains, the reason why the loud chanting of the holy names is 100 times more powerful than softly chanting is because when you softly chant, you purify only yourself. But when you chant loudly, you can purify the hearts and awaken love of God within those species of life that have no tongue to chant. The trees, the plants, the insects, the birds, the beasts, they cannot chant themselves, but they get Krishna when they hear you chanting. And because the Lord is most pleased when we show compassion to other living beings, therefore, this loud chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the most powerful means by which we can attain love of God. Although he cited Shastra with all logic, in philosophy, the Brahmin was outraged. "Ha! To see! According to the holy scriptures, it is said that at the end of Kali, low-class malechas and yavanas will be teaching from the Vedas. But why do we even have to wait for the end of Kali? The end of Kali has already come. A malecha is telling a Brahmin about the holy name of the Lord? He's quoting the Shastra?" Condemned. The Brahmin walked away in great anger. Haridas Thakur stood there praying for the salvation of that Brahmin. How wonderful. One story after another of being misunderstood, hated, and persecuted. And he's teaching everyone, do not trouble anyone and do not hurt anyone. And yet he's troubling so many people and hurting so many people. Yes? What does that mean? You cannot please everyone. But his motivation was always the well-wisher and the lover of every living entity, because he loved Krishna. That is all that matters. With Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur celebrated in great ecstasy the Gaur Purnima when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. And he became one of the most intimate loving associates of Lord Chaitanya in Sri Navadvip Dham. Satchinandan Maharaj has explained the beautiful story of Lord Chaitanya's mercy upon him during the Mahaprakash. Haridas considered himself so low, so humble, but yet the Lord showed him his supreme opulences as Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. And when offered any benediction in all of creation, Haridas only wanted one thing. Let the worshipable object of my life, birth after birth after birth, be the remnants from the plates of prasad eaten by your devotees. And then he felt very ashamed. He said, I am so addicted to being seen as an important person with great prestige. But I am so low and fallen. I don't deserve such a benediction. But still I beg you, let me be a dog in the home of your devotee, so that I may always take his remnants as the servant of the servant of his servants. Now, he was not just saying this, he was feeling this. Because the super soul in everyone's heart is Lord Chaitanya. He was so pleased by Haridas's humility and Haridas's love for the service of the Vaishnavas that he gave him a benediction. That you will always be engaged in the loving service of Krishna and all of his devotees. All the devotees celebrated by loudly chanting Hari Bol. Hari Bol! And Vrindavan Das Thakur says that anyone who hears or repeats this narration will very soon personally meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the Lord took sannyas, he moved to Jagannath Puri. After his South Indian tour, the devotees of Navadvip came to visit Lord Chaitanya here. Haridas Thakur was amongst them. The devotees were greeted by Lord Chaitanya with so much affection and brought to Gambira, where we'll be going tomorrow evening, which was Lord Chaitanya's residence. He brought them all in. Was embracing them, speaking so intimate and affectionate toward them. He asked, where is Haridas? The devotees looked around and saw him laying in the dust down the road in full prostration, offering prayers to Lord Chaitanya and not getting up. Lord Chaitanya said, bring him, bring him. The devotees ran out. And Haridas, I am so fallen. I am so contaminated. I cannot go to Lord Chaitanya's house. Let me remain here in the dust of Puri Dham, the dust of the feet of the devotees. Lord Chaitanya did not want to disturb his sentiments. So after hours and hours of reciprocating with the devotees' love,
When everyone was dispatched to their own particular quarters that Lord Chaitanya gave them, the Lord came out to that dusty roadside and knelt down before Haridas Thakur. Haridas was so humble. "Don't touch me, my Lord. Please don't touch me. I am so fallen." Lord Chaitanya picked up Haridas Thakur and personally gave him a place to reside in Puri. Haridas Thakur would not even attempt to go into Jagannath's temple because he considered himself so fallen. He didn't try to sneak in. He really felt he had no qualification. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to fulfill his desire, gave him a place where he could chant the holy names and see the chakra on top of Jagannath's temple. And in this way, worship the Lord. Such a wonderful place. Lord Chaitanya said that every day I will personally come here to deliver Jagannath's prasad for you. And Srila Prabhupada explains it like this. Thakur Haridas was too humble to go in to see Jagannath, but every day Jagannath, in his most merciful form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came out of his temple to deliver prasad to Haridas Thakur. And not only that, but for a couple hours every day, Lord Chaitanya would spend with Haridas Thakur doing Nam Sankirtan and discussing Harikatha. Rupa Sanatan Goswamis, the crest jewel of Saraswat Brahmins, the greatest scholars and devotees, when they came to Jagannath Puri, one at a time, they personally decided the place they would stay was the little garden of Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya one day brought a toothstick, prasad of Jagannath, that they brush Jagannath's teeth with after he takes his bhoga. And he stuck it in the ground, and immediately from that stick, a bakula tree grew. Within a matter of minutes, it was a full-grown shady tree. Otherwise, Thakur Haridas was chanting his 3 lakhs, 300,000 names under the sun. It was at the Siddha Bakula that Rupa Goswami recited Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, before Lord Chaitanya's intimate associates. Years went by. One day Govinda came with prasad for Haridas Thakur. Haridas was laying on his back, slowly chanting God's names. At that time, Govinda said, "Please happily accept Jagannath's Mahaprasad." Haridas said, "But I have not finished chanting my prescribed rounds. How can I take prasad? But at the same time, how could I refuse the Lord's mercy?" So he bowed down with great humility and took one morsel. The next day, Lord Chaitanya came. "Oh, Haridas, are you suffering some illness?" Haridas Thakur replied, "My body is all right, but my mind and intelligence are in a diseased condition." Lord Chaitanya asked, "Can you ascertain the cause of your disease?" Haridas replied,
My dear Lord, kindly hear my plea. I was born in an inferior family. My body is abominable. And I am always engaged in low works. Therefore, I am the lowest and most condemned among men. I am unseeable and untouchable. But you have allowed me to be your servant. And in doing so, you have delivered me from hellish conditions and elevated me to the platform of Vaikuntha. You are the independent supreme personality of Godhead. By your will, you make the whole universe dance as you like. Even you made me dance in so many ways. Although I'm so low and sinful, you had the Shraddhapatra, which is meant for the highest Brahman, given to me. My dear Lord, I have one desire that I beg you to fulfill. It is a desire that has been burning in my heart for a very long time. I think that very soon you will bring a close to your pastimes in this material world. My Lord, I wish not to see this closing chapter of your pastimes. Before that time comes, let my body fall in your presence. My Lord, allow me to catch your lotus feet and press them upon my heart. And with my eyes gazing upon your beautiful moonlight face, let me continuously chant Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. And in this way, take my life air. My Lord, let my body fall before yours. Because I know you are very affectionate toward your devotees. Although I am an imitation devotee, I beg you to fulfill this one perfection of all of my desires. Lord Chaitanya, with a choked voice, he said, Haridas, whatever happiness I have in this world is only due to your association. Why do you want to leave me and make me suffer? The Thakur replied, Oh my Lord, please do not create an illusion. There are millions of devotees of yours who are doing very important service, who are fit to sit on top of my head. If one insignificant insect dies, what is the loss to this world? Please fulfill my desire and let my body fall in your presence. Lord Chaitanya left to perform his noon duties. The next day he returned with his most intimate associates. Lord Chaitanya was greeted by Haridas Thakur, who honored all the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking the glories of Haridas Thakur as if he had five mouths, and then had all the devotees perform Nam Sankirtan. Haridas Thakur held Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet upon his heart Then he took the dust of the feet of all the devotees and placed it on his head. With tears streaming from his eyes, he gazed at the beautiful moon-like face of Lord Chaitanya. And repeating constantly the holy name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he gave up his life. Just as Bhishma gave up his life in the presence of Krishna by his own will. Lord Chaitanya was so emotionally moved by this experience, he lifted up Haridas Thakur's body in ecstatic affection. And along with the chanting of the holy name, he danced with the body of Haridas in his arms for a long time. He could not give up this devotee. Swarup Damodar Goswami informed the Lord that the rituals for his funeral ceremony was to now be conducted. They placed Thakur Haridas on a stretcher that looked like an airship and had a Harinam procession to the sea. Lord Chaitanya personally led the kirtan dancing as Swarup Damodar Goswami was singing. And Bhakreshwar Pandit, just behind Lord Chaitanya, was dancing in ecstatic love. When they came to the sea, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed the body of Thakur Haridas with his own hands. And the devotees took even that salted water that washed the feet of Haridas and drank it in great ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya proclaimed for all time to come this benediction. That because this sea has bathed the body of Thakur Haridas, it is now a great place of pilgrimage. Then Lord Chaitanya personally dug a hole in the ground of the sand along with his devotees. They placed Thakur Haridas's body in that, and Lord Chaitanya with his own hands began covering with sand. They placed the Mahaprasad of Jagannath and painted the names of Krishna with chandan on Haridas's body. When Thakur Haridas was buried by the Lord's own hands, they made a little monument for him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu led all the devotees in circumambulating the samadhi of Haridas Thakur, chanting the holy name so loudly that it tumultuously echoed in all directions. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to the Jagannath temple and went to the shopkeepers and stretched out his own cloth like a beggar and said, "I am begging for food for a feast for Thakur Haridas." And the shopkeepers were bringing huge baskets of prasad. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "Sit down. Just give 4 palmfuls of each preparation. That will be sufficient." Swarup Damodar Goswami, along with Jagadananda, Shankar Pandit, and Kashishwar Pandit, were engaged in collecting the prasad. And then when it was time to serve out the feast for Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya began the serving. But he was so happy to see devotees eating prasad, and he was so happy to eat prasad himself, that with one handful, he put more on a plate than what 5 men could eat. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "Please let us serve." And my Lord, you know, nobody will eat before you start anyway. So Lord Chaitanya sat with Brahmananda, Bharati, and Paramananda Puri to take prasad. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, who's Lalita Sakhi, Jagadananda Pandit, who's one of the great acharyas of the Sampradaya in conjugal love, Shankar Pandit, who happens to be the the pillow of Lord Chaitanya, who witnessed the most intimate pastimes of the Lord in Gambhira. Kashishwar Pandit, who happened to be the personal servant of Ishwarapuri. They were all humbly rendering service to the Vaishnavas by serving prasad. Please understand, menial service to the devotees is the highest position we can ever aspire for. Even the eternal associates of the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan, the gopis, when they descend to this world, want to serve prasad to the Vaishnavas. What a privilege. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with all the devotees, honor the feast of Haridas Thakur. And after washing, Lord Chaitanya gave this benediction. Anyone who has been at the kirtan to honor the passing of Haridas Thakur, anyone who went to the sea to bathe his body, anyone who covered his body with sand, anyone who is partaking of the feast in his honor, or anyone who even hears about this pastime with a faithful heart, will very soon attain Krishna. This is the power of Haridas Thakur. By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gave me the association of Thakur Haridas. But the Lord, who is independent, has now broken that association. Haridas Thakur is the crown jewel of the entire creation. But now we must suffer, bereft of that crown jewel. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the devotees to chant this beautiful sloka. That was the very beginning of His Holiness Satchinandan Maharaj's talk. Will you chant it again, Maharaj? This is Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic feelings of love and gratitude for the Namacharya who spread the holy name of the Lord all over the world.
Please raise your hands.
Jaya Jaya Haridasa. Jaya Jaya Haridasa. Jaya Jaya Haridasa. Jaya Haridasa.
Lord Chaitanya displayed through this pastime his deep affection for his devotees. The most sublime of all subjects in the 14 worlds is the love of the devotees for the Lord and the love of the Lord for his devotees. We will close our discussion this evening and we will have a Nam Sankirtan procession to the Samadhi Mandir of Haridas Thakur. For those of you who have already gone inside the samadhi, please let others go in because there is almost 3,000 devotees here, I was told. And from there we will go into the sea, right in the place where Lord Chaitanya bathed the body of Thakur Haridas. We will bathe in the sea. Now I have one very important request. Do not go above your waist in the sea, because the undercurrent that Satchinandan Maharaj was speaking about is stronger here than where he was. Yeah. You agree it's stronger? It's a powerful undercurrent. If your feet are not on the ground, if you get sucked in by those waves, because the waves come in, but they pull harder out, that is called an undercurrent. It will pull you to the middle of the sea, and you may never come back. Now, it is a holy place, but you'll destroy the whole yatra if you don't come back. So no one is allowed to go beyond their waist. Be very careful. Don't swim, just stand and bathe and be happy. And let us pray at this time from our heart of hearts that we can deeply absorb the great message that Lord Chaitanya has given all of us through the life and the words of Haridas Thakur. Let us pray that our true aspiration in life is in our word, our deed, and our thoughts. We genuinely strive to be humble, like a blade of grass, tolerant and forgiving like a tree, eager to offer respect to others, even those who don't deserve, even those who mistreat you, and expect no respect for oneself. Let us pray that we can follow Haridas Thakur's example and deeply strive to absorb ourselves in the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names. For Haridas Thakur and all the great Vaishnavas, the holy name is the all in all. Here in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, just seconds from where we're sitting, Sarvabhauma asked Lord Chaitanya, what is the most important of the 9 processes of devotional service? And Lord Chaitanya replied, the chanting of the names of God. In this age of Kali, the holy name has a greater, more powerful effect than anything else we could do. Meditating on the leelas of the Lord does not have the same potency in this age as taking shelter of the holy names. Nam namakari bhadit nija sarva shaktis. The Lord has invested all of his potencies, all of his love and mercy in his names. Let us make the number one priority in our life to please the Lord by honoring our vows, not only in form, but in spirit, by taking shelter of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Since we're going to leave right now, please chant as Haridas Thakur instructed, very loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let us offer this sincere prayer in this holy place. Begging to taste the sweetness of the holy name. Begging for the shelter of the holy name. Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Thank you very much. For Ganges, we don't have time to tell. There's many beautiful stories. One of the great saints of our sampradaya, Ganga Mata Goswamini, she was the daughter of a king, suitable to be the queen and princess, and then later queen. She renounced everything, went to Vrindavan, constantly absorbed herself in the chanting of the holy name and the association of great devotees of the Lord, and later was sent back here because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house was dilapidated. She came to restore this holy place and take care of his deities. On the day of the holy bathing of the Ganges, she wanted to go, but she was unable to go. But Sweta Ganga, which is none different than Ganga herself, swelled up, carried, picked her up in the current, and just she floated in the Ganges right into Jagannath's temple in the middle of the night. When the Ganges withdrew, she was left in the temple. When the pujaris woke up and opened the door, they saw her standing there, and they thought she was a thief. So they punished her and put her in prison, ready to go to trial. But Jagannath approached the king of Orissa, king of Puri, and told him, if you punish her, you and your whole family will be destroyed. He simultaneously appeared to the pujaris, said, you should atone for your offense by surrendering at her lotus feet and becoming her initiated disciples. So all the priests of Jagannath Temple, the head priest, plus the king of Orissa, all surrendered to her and became her initiated disciples. That is one of the beautiful stories of Sweta Ganga. Let us bow down and offer our prayers. Thank you very much.